Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. The Doug Gottlieb Show broadcasts live every single day from Southern California. Welcome. Welcome in. Man, I would tell you this. We had Santa Ana winds, which means, I don't know, they're dry. I thought it means they come in from the desert, right? That's what I always thought they mean. I don't know. Maybe somebody else can look it up and tell me if I'm wrong. But, whoa. Is it hot outside here in SoCal? You guys been outside today? Like, it was hot. I was, you know, it was legit. I know in some parts of the country it's not. That's what I think. Okay, so we got a lot to get to. Did you guys watch the end of that Chargers win over the Steelers? Yikes, that was almost as big a choke job as I've ever seen in sports. Like, that was bad. Like, that game was over, and then what are they doing? What are they doing? Just so bad. The Dallas Cowboys laid an egg against Kansas City Chiefs. Apparently, Chiefs decided to play some defense. Frank Gore is going to join us. He's actually going to have a fight this weekend with Darren Williams. I think that's in Tampa, right? Oh, it's December 18th. So I got my dates. It's November 27th. So it's Thanksgiving week. So we have midweek football. Cowboys get a chance, obviously, to play on Thursday. Got all three of those Thursday games. Those are interesting. Ton of college hoops. We got the LeBron, Isaiah Stewart fight. TJ Hushmanzada is going to join us. God, we got a lot of stuff. I want to start with Baker, and it's not because I care about Baker. Baker Mayfield is playing through a bunch of injuries. The Browns found a way to just survive the Lions. Doesn't matter if you win by a point or 30 points, I don't care. They didn't look great. Home fans booed him. He skipped his press conference. And here's Kevin Stefanski talking about Baker's performance.
Conditions weren't great. You know, Baker's done a really, really good job of taking care of the football in terms of interceptions, and he knows that, you know, we don't want to give them anything, so I'm sure he's frustrated with those, but he's done a nice job this season.
Okay, so Baker Mayfield's wife, his name is Emily, right? Now, for the record, I don't actually care what she has to tweet, say, IG, whatever. I don't. And it's not because she's a woman or his wife. It's because I don't actually care what somebody's dad says, what their brother says, what their best friend says, what their high school sweetheart says, or their wife or mom or cousin or nephew or whatever. What you learn in sports, especially if you ever coach, is that parents, relatives, spouses, they're all blinded by love, right? They care about these people. They've seen what they do. They've seen how much time they put into what they're doing and how they're doing it. And the last thing anybody wants is to see somebody you care about be ridiculed. Okay, but this is one of the things that I don't know if people understand, okay? If you're the number one overall pick, you're judged differently. You just are. Baker Mayfield's been a pretty good quarterback for his time in the NFL. He took over a disastrous franchise. He got into the playoffs. Was it all of him? No. Is he one of the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL? No. Do I think he's worth $35 million a year? No. But do I think he can play in the league? Yes. Is he playing well currently? No. I'm sure some of it's injury, some of it is scheme, and some of it is just he might not be as good as we told you, as his status as a number one overall pick would lead you to believe. Okay. But here's what his wife posted on Instagram. No one better say anything bad about Baker Mayfield after this game. I don't think I've seen toughness like this in a while. Maybe the rest of our team should take a hint and get tougher. Now, the first part comes across as just defending somebody who you love. The last sentence is one of those, okay, sorry, you just lost your right to put something on social media. And, oh yeah, by the way, no matter what you do now, even if you stop posting now and you shut it down now, the assumption is, fair or unfair, that Baker comes home and tells his wife, dude, these guys are soft and people are calling me out. Like, yeah, I mean, it's too late now. The damage is done now, because I don't care what he goes and says. The damage is, you read that, it doesn't matter if it came from Baker or his wife. There's a very easy assumption where you think it comes from Baker. And I have a rule. So I have six AAU teams, four different levels in terms of ages, six teams. Actually, I think we might have seven now. Anyway, I have one rule when I talk to parents. Do not ask me, talk about, have anything to say about another child who is not your own. Right? That's not, if you want to have a conversation with me, we're not going to talk about Jimmy when you're Johnny's dad, or when you Jimmy when you're Johnny's mom. I will talk to Jimmy or Jimmy's mom. Right? But as far as Johnny, you talk to me about Johnny. And like the wife, Emily, violating this is violating a very simple code. Okay? Don't say nothing. And oh yeah, by the way, this is one of those where there's no, I don't have to label it with all due respect. I don't respect people who aren't in a locker room, haven't been in a locker room. I don't. To comment on things they don't know anything about. And all you're doing in your effort to defend your husband is hurt your husband. So now Baker has to spend whatever the next day is texting his teammates, talking to people, and trying to go, nah, she wasn't talking about you. I don't know what she's talking about. She was just super emotional. She's watching the game on TV and she got mad. Or she's watching the game in person and she got pissed. She heard the boos and she got mad and she's just defending me. Please don't think anything about it. Doesn't matter though. When you say maybe the rest of our team should take a hint and get tougher, she's calling 52 other players, 52 other professional football players soft. What in the heck are you doing? You can be blinded by love. You can defend your husband. You can say crazy stuff to talk about how great he is. When you start calling out other guys, especially the ones who play on the same team as your husband, and guys who protect your husband, or guys who have to score and catch the football, or defensive players who have to do their job in order to help your husband, if you're calling them out, where in the hell is the win in that? So an easy memo to Emily Mayfield, to other wags, if you will, wives and girlfriends. You don't know anything about what's going on in that locker room. You don't know anything about any other players on that team outside of what your husband tells you, or you read online, or you read in the newspaper, you hear on the radio, you see on TV. That's what you know. I'm not going to talk about anybody's, I would never call out anybody's, a team's toughness, especially just to help my own dude. And oh yeah, by the way, in order for Baker to succeed, he needs those 52 other guys to play at the highest level, to play through pain and injury and misery and disappointment and find a way to compete. But man, what are you doing? Or ma'am, what are you doing? It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. The Chiefs won again. Was it about the Chiefs or about the Cowboys? Huh. All right, we'll get to that next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. So So we're trying to figure out, right, was it the Cowboys being that bad, Dak Prescott, three turnovers, or is it the Chiefs are suddenly good? Andy Reid said it's not a statement game.
Week is like crazy in this league, so I'm not sure there any statement. There's not a lot of consistency going on right now, amongst the NFL here. Every week is a big-time challenge. It's what the league strives for, parity in this league, and we're no different. So we've got to just keep our nose to it. You know, we haven't proven anything yet. You can talk about all of it after the season. Go find an island and go lay around and tell everybody about it. But right now, not so much, man.
What was the clapping over there, Ramos?
Because he's 100% right.
Well, because he's 100% right. Why? Because it's a week-to-week league?
Yes, that is exactly right. Last week, the Tennessee Titans were the talk of the town, and then they got their butts handed to them yesterday by the Houston Texans.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, Tennessee's got, some of the best wins, and then they've lost to Tennessee and the Jets. Granted, that's to the Jets and to Houston, which are just embarrassing losses if you consider yourself a Super Bowl-caliber team. So I agree with you there. But for the Chiefs to put together four in a row, for the Chiefs to, it's not just to beat the Cowboys, it's to limit the Cowboys and hold them to 9 points. And I think all of us, whatever you think of Dak at the top end, if he's great, best quarterback in the league, whatever, that performance by their defense, holding the Cowboys to 9 points, even more so than winning the game, I think jumps out of people. I really do. Really do. Okay, let's get to what Andy Reid actually said, which he's just kind of downplaying the win. Here's what Pat Mahomes had to say on the win.
I mean, I think that's been this entire season. And there's been a lot of ups and downs for everybody. We know that we have to go in with the mindset every single week if we have to be our best. And if we're not our best, we have to find a way to continue to get better and try to find a way to get a win. I think you've seen that this season. We've had games where we've put up a lot of points and played really good. We've had games that we haven't, and we still found a way to get a win. It's a team game in this sport, and it's not the same as it's been these last few years. But when you play as a team and you find a way to win these tough, adverse games, I mean, that's when you have those special teams, and I'm excited for the rest of the season.
All right, here's Dak Prescott in the loss.
It's tough. I mean, it's a good D-line. They did a good job, and they got us tonight. They got the best of us. I think it started up there, but started in our communication and us just executing out wide when we had a chance to make plays, missed the throw early. All of us can take part in this loss and be accountable for everything that happened out there.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Yeah, I mean, when he says a good D-line, I think what he's pointing out is that Chris Jones dominated the game. They were constantly in the backfield. Tyron Smith not being there completely changes the Dallas Cowboys. And, yesterday the Chiefs were the better team because they had they were better up front. But, man, that was not what the Cowboys needed in terms of making people believe they could beat good teams. Check out the latest lines from World of Sports at Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Bet Rivers is the trusted name in online sports betting. You must be 21, present in Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, or Pennsylvania to play. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Ramos, do you feel better now that you've seen the Niners go and destroy another team? Do you feel better at all about your Lambs?
Well, that's not nice to call them that. My dad, my people that didn't, when I was a kid, used to say that to me, the Lambs. But anyway, you know what? Jacksonville's not a good indication of a lot of stuff, but I do have to say that they play. I watched that game. I mean, having Kittle back is immense. Deebo Samuel is awesome. The guy literally is just like walks into the end zone repeatedly. And you know what? Garoppolo is. I'm not sure Trey Lance is going to get into games anytime soon because he does exactly what he has to do. You know, he hands the ball off, and who was it? Wilson Jr. yesterday was filling in for Mitchell, who was injured. He did a good job. I mean. You said it last week. You got to watch out for the 49ers. They really can reel off like five or six wins, and it could be right back in the NFC West hunt.
Oh, I don't think there's any question there. What was that like to watch the Chargers game, Jason Stewart?
I think that there's if you've followed the Chargers the last few years, I mean, you almost anticipate something going wrong. You anticipate the other shoe falling off, but. This season, I thought Brandon Staley kind of put an end to that. But last night was like an Anthony Lynn game. Like, we just couldn't put the Steelers away. And thank goodness for Justin Herbert. Because that, what, the punt block was kind of fluke. The interception off Hayward's hand was kind of fluke. The Steelers, to their credit, scored, but it was, I guess, that's a long answer to your question. I was anxious. I was expecting the worst, and I'm glad we pulled through.
We won. We won.
Exactly right.
Giving up 26 points in the fourth quarter is and surviving and winning is crazy. Byer, did you watch that game, or are you too sad over what's happened to your Seahawks?
No, I don't get sad to not watch football. That doesn't happen. Plus, you're kind of numb to it right now. But no, I did watch it. It was a good game. Yeah, exciting, a little back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those where the game, it was like a minute away from flip the TV off, don't wait for it to conclude territory. Then all of a sudden, block punt and everything changes. It was really, really remarkable. You had those two. You had Eckler with his four touchdowns. You had Jonathan Taylor, a couple of dominant performances. Those big fantasy guys. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Frank Gore was a Hall of Fame caliber running back, right? Like among the most consistent guys in an offensive backfield for the better part of nearly two decades. And if you're not aware, remember we had Jake Paul on, I think a week and a half ago, and Jake's promoting his fight. He's the headliner. Deron Williams, former NBA All-Star and Team USA member, is taking on Frank Gore. You know, that's the undercard. December 18th in Tampa. It's part of Showtime's pay-per-view package. And Frank Gore joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Frank, how are you?
Doing fine. Thanks for having me this day.
In terms of boxing, have you trained in boxing during your time as a star running back in the NFL?
Yeah, I trained it a lot. But I never, trained it, getting ready for a fight. This is the first time the last eight weeks right here, you know, I've been training like a fighter. You know, it's challenging, and, you know, but I'm enjoying it, though.
Well, I mean, look, what you are known as, I mean, you tore both ACLs, nothing stopped you, right, in competing as a back in the NFL. You're one of the most respected running backs in my lifetime in the NFL. But as you point out, training is different for a fight. Okay, so do you go running every day? You do the Rocky Balboa? What is a daily training session like?
Well, you know, we have different days, different stuff. When I was training for football, I never jogged miles. You know, because we always, you know, as a football player, you do a lot of sprints. Now, you know, since I've been training for a fight, I got to, you know, some days I got to go 4 miles. It's different. It's different for me. Very challenging. But I'm picking it up, and you know, I'll be ready for December 18th.
I want to ask you about your son. Most people know he plays running back at Southern Miss. If you didn't watch this weekend, they had no healthy quarterbacks, so he played quarterback and threw a beautiful touchdown pass. What's that like to watch your son play completely out of position in the NFL and in college?
It's a blessing, man. It's a blessing because, you know, I was a young parent. You know, I always know that he wanted to play football, and also, you know, he got an opportunity to go to Division I college, got a scholarship, and to see him have success at the running back position. And then when all the quarterbacks get hurt, to go out there and help his team win. And people don't know that he out there on a high ankle sprain. That will make it even more better. And I'm very proud of him. I just want him to keep his head on, keep working, being a good man, good young man on and off the field, respect everybody. And just enjoy his time in college, man. So I've been a proud dad.
Is that his first touchdown pass? Did he ever play quarterback as a kid?
Yeah, he played in high school. He played a little bit in high school. You know, he's very talented, man. Like I say, man, I tell him, just stay humble, just keep working, and just enjoy it. Just enjoy it, man. And respect, you know, his coaches, respect his professors, man, and, you know, good things are happening for him.
Frank Gore joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so it's not just you versus Deron Williams. It does feel like basketball guys versus football guys. How important is this to football culture that you win this fight?
I want to win no matter what. You know, you know, I know people was like, oh, he's a basketball guy, but I can't look at it like that. Because any guy who willing to step in the ring, you know, got to be some type of tough dude. Darren, a real cool dude. I met him when we had the press conference. He been around MMA for a long time. That's another thing. I'm a tough guy, but I'm not doing MMA. You know what I'm saying? So, he, you know, knowing his background, he been wrestling since a young kid. So I can't just look at him as just an NBA player because he wasn't getting there. And him getting there, he got to know something. So that's why I'm training like, you know, like he's like a pro boxer.
He was a bigger dude too, with a reach, which means you got to get in there, right? Are you gonna have to force the action?
Yeah, I got to be smart. You know, he's long, got long arms, so I got to be smart. You know, I will see, when the bell ring the first round. You know, the way he moved, the way he threw his punches, then I can go from there. But you know, I've been working my behind off. Every time I make my mind up to do something, I'm gonna get 110%. I think, you know, my goal get the win, and also have my fans and everybody can't believe the way I look in the ring.
So, is the plan for this to be the first of many, or is this the only time you'll fight?
I don't know. I can't look past Darren. I gotta see how the first one goes. You know, this new to me. This not my sport. I just, you know, enjoy it. You know, I felt like, you know, since I didn't want to play ball this year, I want to give this a shot because I've always been around it. But I don't know. You know, I'm going to just enjoy it at the moment when I'm December 18th, when we go to the fourth round and see how I like it. You know, if I like it and, you know, I look good and I want to move on, I'll do it. But, you know, I can't say right now.
Frank Gore joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. What was the secret to your longevity? I mean, you go in and look and, what was it, nine seasons of 1,000 yards, and then you have, you know, several 900-plus yard seasons. Like, very few players have been able to play nine seasons at running back in the NFL, let alone be as consistently successful. And then, like, you know, you pay more than 15 years at a tough position. How are you able to do it when so many others have not?
I would say, you know, hard work. I would say, I got to say, it was God, you know, on my side. And the love of the game, you know, just going through what I had to deal with to get to the NFL, just knowing, you know, when you look at my career, you know, I've been doubted. A lot of people say I won't be able to go to the league after my two ACLs. You know, just hearing all the doubts and telling myself I can't listen to that. You know, my goal to get there, I'm going to keep pushing until I get there. Never looking ahead of time. You know, always taking it one day at a time. And always when I hit the field, man, in practice, I gave him my all. Because God showed me that game of football can get taken away, something that I love. So, you know, once I been through what I went through in college, man, I just had to change my process of the thinking and working. And that's why, you know, I've been able to last so long.
Well, that's why I think if I'm Darren Williams, the last guy I want to fight is you, because he's going to have to beat you. You're not just going to give up. Hey, Frank, can't wait to see you fight in Tampa. Continued success to you and your son. Thanks so much for joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, thank you all for having me today.
All right, that's Frank Gore. Have you ever, Jason and guys, have you guys ever seen the litany of injuries? Do you remember the litany of injuries he had? So he tore both his ACLs in college. Okay. He tore his meniscus when he's at Miami as well, you know, and then you go through his NFL playing days and, you know, concussion very early on, just injury after injury, sprained ankle, hip fracture in 2010, even, right? I mean, like, he's had some stuff, and yet that guy seemingly was always productive.
I was unaware of how many injuries he had. I remember him being, in the latter part of his career at least, like a dependable guy. Like, he may not have had the skill set or the power that he once had, but he seemed to be out there every week. As you described his injuries, I thought about another Miami back, and what was it,
Willis McGahee.
Willis McGahee. That's right. That's why I thought you were kind of describing. Am I getting...
No, Willis McGahee, he tore his ACL against Ohio State.
That's right.
But that catastrophic knee injury really cut his career short. It was, so he had a couple really good years with Baltimore, but was never able to sustain it. This guy tore both ACLs, had a meniscus. He's had all kinds of other injuries, and he was just a machine. It must be, he was like, there was him and Curtis Martin was better at catching the ball out of the backfield, but kind of same in that they were just incredibly consistent guys.
There is always the argument about Frank Gore's Hall of Fame status. And I just, when you're third all time in the NFL in rushing,
yeah,
I don't care if it took you 45 years, like, you're going to go into the Hall of Fame. Like, that's, may not be a first ballot guy,
yeah,
but there is no doubt he is going to Canton. I mean, it's hot take-ish to be like, I don't know, but the running back position for a lot of guys at the end of their career is just compiling. And when we thought his career was coming to an end, he had five more years after that and continued that. So, yeah, he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yes, Sir Ramos.
So far we've talked about the Hall of Fame, which obviously we feel like he's going to get in. We've talked about the fact he's been injured a lot, which
I don't know if he's getting in. I agree with Dan in premise, and I think because we're not going to have nearly as many running backs with that sort of longevity, those numbers will sustain itself. But I don't know.
Okay, well, he's a high candidate for a Hall of Fame induction. How's that? Is that a better way of saying it? Like, a good chance.
High candidate is not a good. He's got a good chance. Okay. Is a guess.
So we talked about the fact that he had injuries and that dealt with his NFL career. But why would he be the fighting part? I don't understand. Like, that's all stuff that's like really like what? Why are people getting into fighting? That's the part I don't understand. Like, why does he need to fight somebody?
Why does he need to fight somebody?
Or why does he want to fight somebody? He's competitive, so he wants to go into the ring and
I think so.
Fight.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I would get. I mean, I probably should have, I guess, asked him.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying that it seems like he has so many accolades that it just seems like that. I don't know why he would want to go and get
You get in really good shape, and you get try something. And I guess.
Try something new.
And look, and he's not going against the, although... Darren Williams has fought UFC. He's not going against a professional boxer. I mean, like, look, I talked to some boxing guys. They're like, the Jake Paul thing, he can't fight at all. So it's just merely a, can you find somebody who has been in the ring with somebody else who's won and just figure out a way in which you can get it? Because once you don't want to go up against a boxer. You go against a boxer, you can get killed. Like those guys, like a guy who's been doing it his whole life. Think you have any sort of chance. But if you say, hey, you're going to go against a former NBA player who's done some MMA, although because he's done MMA and I wouldn't want to fight him, I guess that's hook. But most of these guys are competitors. They ain't got nothing else going on. You get in great shape. And I mean, even Nate Robinson got blasted, right, in his fight. And, you know, he didn't lose any. I don't think you lose any standing.
It's one of the things I love about boxing is that there's no Houston Texans of boxing. Like, no one's going to be 2-15. You know, like their career is going to stop after that sixth fight if they haven't won one. Like, you don't see any end of this bout, you know, right? I mean, you don't see guys with a winning percentage of 280 in boxing because you would quit long before that because you couldn't win a fight.
Yeah, I do think those guys sort of exist. The tomato can guys do kind of exist. We just don't ever see them or talk about them, right?
They fight at like, 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
On the main events at 9 o'clock, they're 7 hours earlier.
I mean, that's got to be a tough life. I mean, honestly, Ramos, some guys don't have a lot of stuff going on, right? Like,
well, I mean, all of us have. I mean, you have a lot of stuff going on. I mean, I have my kids and stuff, but I don't have a lot going on. I don't think I'd go.
Fall baseball's over. You could box this winter, John.
That's right. I wouldn't think I'd go to Suzanne and be like, you know what? Let me hit the ring.
I got one for you.
Okay.
Fire. Dan, what if we had set up Ramos to fight against somebody else's technical director? And
well,
in this
really
corner
good.
From the Doug Gottlieb Show, John Ramos. In this corner from, I don't know,
Sports. Yeah, you didn't want to name his opponent that he wasn't going to do it.
Todd Fritz, do you want to fight Todd Fritz? Fritz is not the technical
director. Well, he's a
you
producer.
Would probably fight Seton. That's who you would fight.
Now, Seton's got a lot of ink. He's more of a music guy. I think Todd Fritz and John Ramos in the ring would be good.
But their job duties are different.
It's okay. So are Darren Williams and Frank Gore.
That's true.
Darren Williams and Frank Gore, right? Their job, one's a basketball, one's a football guy. You know, one is a guest booking producer. The other one is a technical director. But still, I think that's a fight that America wants to see.
That's not a fight I want to see for myself.
All right, so. Do you want to fight Greg Tuohy?
No, I don't want to.
You can arrange Greg Tuohy.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. We all would like to see that fight.
We were on
Greg
the same
Tuohy,
team.
Greg Tuohy, by the way, is a producer for the Colin Cowherd Show. Just real credit card question. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. How big a deal is it for the Bills to get run over by the Colts yesterday? I'll tell you next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great, great, great day. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Let's, every day at this time, we like to get you updated on the stories of the day. We'll do so by playing a game.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Dan Beyer, what do you got?
Don Beyer.
Doug, the game today is
big deal, little deal, no deal.
Seven scenarios to throw at you. We start off big deal, little deal, or no deal that despite his wishes, Curt Schilling is on the Hall of Fame ballot for the 10th and final time for a chance to go into Cooperstown. Remember, he made a big deal because he didn't get in last time and didn't want to be on the ballot and didn't want people to vote for him. Well, he is on the ballot again. Big deal, little deal, or no deal?
I'm going to go no deal. I mean, we're not taking you off the ballot. You're not getting in anyway, so we're not taking you off the ballot. That's no deal.
Big deal, little deal, or no deal, Doug, that the Colts ran over the Bills yesterday in Buffalo 41-15.
That feels like a pretty big deal, doesn't it? Now, I understand that there's some other things that go bump in the night, but Carson Wentz appears to be back playing good football. Jonathan Taylor's a just incredible, incredible back. And this is a Colts team that we had high expectations on, but kind of sputtered out of the gate. Meanwhile, the Bills have been really disappointing of late. I think it's a big deal. I do.
Big deal, little deal, or no deal that the Cardinals still have the best record in the NFL at 9-2 after playing their third game without Kyler Murray.
That's a great question. I think it's a big deal, right? Like Colt McCoy was good, then bad, then good yesterday. But yeah, I mean, their ability to kind of sustain themselves, especially with the rest of the division, or at least the Rams kind of crumbling down and they're playing without their quarterback, I think that's a big deal.
There seem to be a lot of opportunities for teams in the NFC to maybe seize control, to try to seize that number one seed. And no one's really taken advantage. And I would say that the Cardinals actually have, despite their shortcomings. I mean, Green Bay's had opportunities, but then Rodgers missed the Chiefs game, and they lost yesterday, and Cowboys lost yesterday. The Rams were beaten by the 49ers. Interesting to see how things have gone so far in the NFC. Maybe nobody wants the top seed, so Arizona will just take it. All right, Doug, big deal, little deal, or no deal, switching gears to college football, that Oklahoma State head coach Mike Gundy said today that he doesn't think Bedlam will continue once Oklahoma leaves for the SEC.
Well, it's a big deal, but it's not a new. It shouldn't be breaking news to anybody who's been paying attention. It actually, and we can have this discussion, like, what would you do if you were Oklahoma State, right? Like, your brother's school left you out to dry, didn't tell you, you're negotiating. Like, they did them dirty. Oklahoma did them dirty. And, you know, but there's a financial windfall when you play Oklahoma. Like, they play Oklahoma at home here this Saturday night. Every restaurant, every bar, and every hotel room is going to be filled. So it's like, all right, do we play them because You know, they've played uninterrupted since 1904. Or do you not play them because they did you wrong? And now, look, they could play back-to-back weeks, too, which is crazy enough. But it's a big deal in terms of historic nature of the rivalry, but a little deal because I think most people have known this thing is coming.
Gundy said in his comments that this wasn't anybody saying anything to him. He just, that's the way that he felt. And with how things go in Power 5 football and with two schools and then opposite leagues, he didn't think it would continue. But he says that was his opinion and not relaying any inside information. All right, big deal, little deal, or no deal, Doug, that Ohio State quarterback C.J. Stroud is now the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy.
It's a big deal because it feels like, I don't know, it just feels like we've been here before with Ohio State, right? It feels like the Cardell Jones year, where all of a sudden now they're picking up steam and kicking everybody's ass at the end of the year. And then they went into the college football playoff and did the exact same thing. This was not a particularly good football team 2 months ago. And in terms of competing for national championship, but Ryan Day has got them rolling. I think it's a pretty big deal. And also, the Heisman Trophy is probably a little deal just because, I mean, has anybody talking about the Heisman Trophy?
No. And I think that was part of the deal. And in that game on Saturday, you actually had Stroud and maybe Kenneth Walker having the ability to cement their status of being in the conversation. And it was such a one-sided affair that you wonder what the longer-lasting effects will be for Kenneth Walker on any ballots, just because they got down so early and he was ineffective in the few opportunities that he got. And then have Bryce Young throwing for 500, you know, yards. But again, it's Ohio State beat a top 10 team, and Alabama just topped a top 25 team. So Stroud's day got a little bit more pub. Should be interesting to see what happens this weekend with both of those quarterbacks. Big deal, little deal, or no deal, Doug, that the Dan Mullen era at Florida is now over.
Feels like a big deal. Like, Dan Mullen was successful at Mississippi State, successful at Florida up until this year. The thing went to hell in the handbasket, and then they just cut him a big check and said, get lost. Like, that thing. And the AD was his AD at Mississippi State. Scott Strickland was his AD at Mississippi State. So, like, you would have thought, that if there's ever a guy that could survive a bad year, Dan Mullen was that guy, but apparently he's not that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I know they were in the national title conversation, but it was three straight New Year's Day or, you know, Big Six bowl games, New Year's Six bowl games that they went to. And now he's out of a job. I know 5-6 isn't what they're looking for in Gainesville, but still. Finally, big deal, little deal, or no deal that a fan lost his lunch while sitting courtside of the Sacramento Kings game on Saturday night. Did you see that one?
Have you watched the Sacramento Kings play?
That was an interesting one. That really, really was, because the guy also didn't move and then just sat there in his said lunch for a few seconds, and didn't seem like anybody wanted to really clean it up. But
yeah, it was pretty gross.
Yeah,
it was really, really gross.
You want to sit courtside? Awesome. Think again. That's game time.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is game time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
What was his name? His name was Ralph.
Wait a minute.
No, his name was Chuck. Sorry, I'm an immature 7-year-old boy. That's who I am. That's who I be. Speaking of throwing up, how were your Seahawks yesterday, there, Byer?
Yeah, they're not looking good. Big time problems.
If I put you in charge, Carroll could go, Russell could go, they both could go. What would you do?
I think there's a clean sweep that is needed. You need to reset. I think John Schneider's status is also could be looked at.
You just fire everybody?
Well, the draft classes have not been good in the
I understand, yeah. But we'll talk about this upcoming next hour on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Plus, LeBron James getting in a fight, sort of, next.